his heart and soul so we could live.
Last year, we saw two assassination attempts on President Donald Trump, and a few days ago, we saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a young man who gently yet persuasively debated students on college campuses. While many mourn Charlie's death, some have praised his execution. We truly need to return God, prayer, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments to our lives and schools, and cry out to God in prayer for this nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
As we begin this morning, I want to ask you a question. How is it that we have come to the place where a human being can be killed in America simply for what he or she believes? And I'm referring to Charlie Kirk and the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was someone who would go to college campuses and really challenge the students to challenge him. And he would actually ask for people that believed differently than him to come to the front of the line and to debate and to present their argument. And really what you saw is a dramatic effect upon that as people were actually challenged with truth and challenged that, hey, life begins at conception. We should protect every innocent human life. On the existence of God, on the importance of confessing your sins to God and becoming a Christian, on other issues as well. And he not only was willing to debate students, but also even professors. And he would allow students to bring their phones, and he would do so in a way that really was respectful to the people that he was debating, to the students. At a time, really, that, you know, if you go back not too long ago, you can actually look on YouTube and you can see videos where it talks about how someone owned someone else, and really a lot of times those who were presenting were actually doing so in a way that put down the person that they were talking to, and really showed disrespect to them, sometimes even yelling at them. And this was viewed as really the way to go and the way to actually argue and debate. And Charlie Kirk didn't do that. He argued rationally, he argued calmly, but he argued for the truth. And so when we look at what has happened, and really we saw not only his assassination, but last year we saw two assassination attempts on President Donald Trump, one of which was carried out by a young person, another of which was carried out by someone that was older. The assassination of Charlie Kirk happened with a young person as well. So when we look at this, we're going to look from the Bible, and we're going to see some principles from the Bible. Many of these are principles that we've talked about in the past, when we've looked at school shootings and other public public shootings. But really, the root of this all comes from replacing the idea that God created the heavens and the earth with the idea that we all happened by chance, by random mutation, and that none of this really, that there is no God. You see, if there is a God, then we need to do what he has commanded us to do. Yet if there is no God, then we can do whatever we want to do. We can be a God unto ourselves. We can determine, you can determine what's right for you, and I can determine what's right for me. And certainly, there are people who actually do this, who say, well, you know what? I believe it's right for me to commit adultery with your wife or with your husband. I believe it's right for me to kill someone. I believe it's right for me to rape. There are moral absolutes. There are things that are right. There are things that are wrong. And God is the one that has given us his word and has called us to obey his commandments. So when we look at this idea that God created the heavens and the earth, I mean, really, it takes faith to believe that. But does it take any less faith to believe that there was nothing? And then there was an explosion, and somehow matter came into existence and spread out, and through random acts, the universe, the stars, the sun, this planet, and all the other planets came into being. And then you actually had the formation, again by chance, of a single cell organism. And that single cell organism multiplied and over time changed and became more and more complex. And then all of a sudden you had actually at some point, you had animal life, and then one of those monkeys just stood up and became a human being. And that takes, I believe, more faith. And yet that belief is really based on not wanting to do things God's way and wanting to break away from God's commandments and his precepts. We need to get back to the idea that God created the heavens and the earth, because this is where we have this foundation. When we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, we are subject to his commandments and his precepts. And we also have removed the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and prayer from public schools. Certainly we didn't do it, maybe, but we allowed it to happen. And this happened from a judicial activist court where prayer was removed in Engle versus Vidal. And that was in 1962. You also had in Abington versus Shimp, 1963, the Bible being removed from public schools. And then you had in 1980 in Stone versus Graham, the Ten Commandments being removed from public schools. That court ruling actually said that the students might actually look upon the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and venerate it and actually want to obey it. And wouldn't that be terrible if kids didn't kill one another or kill their parents? Or wouldn't that be terrible if kids didn't steal from one another, if they honored their father and their mother, their teachers? Wouldn't that be terrible? Obviously, I'm being facetious here. And this really flies in the face of history, where you see that public schools were actually founded in this nation by the Puritans long before the founding era for the purpose of training kids to read so that they could read the Word of God. And really, even at the time of the founding of this country, kids were reading the Bible. When the Constitution was ratified, kids were reading the Bible. It was the primary school book at that time. When the Bill of Rights was actually enacted, kids were reading. The Bible was the primary reading book. The other reading book was the New England Primer, and that actually taught biblical principles. It had a rhyming alphabet. In Adam's A and Adam's fall, we sinned all. It actually taught the gospel of Jesus Christ from actually various lessons there. And this is where they actually had the teaching. It all came from really the Bible and biblical principles. But really, this isn't just something that happened in society at large and in schools. We also have allowed the law of God to be removed from our churches, homes, and society. And certainly you go to church, and in every church the Bible is read, but certainly there are some churches, and I'm not necessarily conveying or intimating that your church is like this. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully you can encourage your pastor to preach the truth, and hopefully you're in a church where they do preach the truth. But really what needs to happen is the truth needs to be preached. And there are churches where only certain verses will be talked about. And those verses that talk about, well, that adultery is sin, or fornication is sin, or that going to an abortionist and paying an abortionist to kill your own human offspring, that is sin, or other types of controversial sins, such as the belief that there is only two genders, that God created human beings as male and female. Charlie Kirk was presenting an argument on that, or was asked a question about that right when he was shot. This is something that definitely we need to be able and be willing to present the full counsel of God, to speak the truth, and develop a biblical worldview. Too few Christians have a biblical worldview. In fact, when you look at all Christians, it's about 9% of all Christians that have a biblical worldview. And some denominations, mainline denominations, it goes down to 2%. And for Roman Catholics, it's actually only 0.5% that have a biblical worldview. The Bible needs to shape our thinking. And we need to read the Word of God. This, you're not going to get a biblical worldview reading a verse a day. You need to get into the Word of God and read it. This needs to be, read it in such a way that you believe, hey, this is God's handbook for life, for your life. So read it. Read it with your family and read it individually. Discuss it. This is something that we need to do. We need to get back into the Word of God and actually return to a place where the Word of God is taught, and where we actually develop this biblical worldview, where we're looking at the world through the lens of the Bible. And train your children. The Bible actually talks about this. Training your children in obedience to the Word of God. And we also have a society, live in a society, where we have removed the sanctity of human life. The principle called Imago Dei, that we are created in the image of God. And we can read this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. And really, every time we kill innocent human beings in the womb, we are actually damaging this image and tarnishing this image. And Pope John Paul II said this: a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. The Bible talks about when we actually kill innocent human life, that leads to more bloodshed. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." Some translations talk about bloodshed leading to more bloodshed. And really, you see a people that have broken all restraint, stealing, they're committing adultery, and you see that more bloodshed comes about because of this. This is something that was talked about prior to Roe versus Wade being enacted and or decided upon by the U.S. Supreme Court, and abortion coming in to all 50 states. And even after abortion, even after Roe versus Wade has been overturned, in all states of this union, preborn children are still being killed. Even states that have very strict laws on abortion. And even in our own state, where we have a quote-unquote six-week ban on abortion, what we actually see is that children are still being killed by abortion. And we really don't even know how many children are being killed in our state, because there are abortion pills that are coming across state lines, or even across from out of this country, where a woman can actually take one of these pills and it actually cuts off the necessary hormones that are necessary to develop the life that is in her. And so the baby actually dies because of this, and then she is given another medication or takes another medication that causes a violent delivery. And she delivers a dead baby in her own toilet or maybe in her own shower. And she sees a very tiny yet perfectly formed human being. Every time we do that, we are reducing and removing this image of God, and we're pushing it down, and we're making it more likely that someone will take another innocent human life. And certainly those preborn children, over 68 million preborn children that have been slaughtered by abortion. Every single time we have actually performed abortion, we have actually cheapened human life in the sight of people. And really, we have more and more killing that is happening in our land because of this. We also have removed the fear of God from our society. And we see in Romans chapter 3, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Really, this is a description of the society at that time. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You see, there used to be in this country a fear of God, and certainly there still is to some extent. And it's really, if you travel the country and you speak to people in different parts of the country, you'll see that there's some parts of the country that have more of this than others. And this is where people realize that there is a God, that we are subject to his commandments, even though they've been taught that really we're there is no God and that we all happen by chance. They still have gone to church. Maybe their grandmother took them to church, and they realized they heard the gospel. They heard about God, and they realized that, hey, there is a God. He does judge. I'm going to stand before him one day and give an account for my life, and there's certain things that I don't want to do. And you may recall me talking about being in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children. And being in jail, really going through the pretrial detention center of Atlanta, where for days, maybe even as many as 3 days, you're in a concrete cell with concrete benches and a concrete floor. And the only way you can sleep is to either lie down on the bench or sit on the bench or lie down on the floor and go to sleep. And of course, you're sleeping with criminals. There are criminals that are awake. And I was actually one day sleeping with these on the floor. And an inmate tapped my foot and asked me what my name was. And I told him what my name was. And he said, well, the officer called for you. And so I go out in the hallway and there's no officer. And he said, well, he's down here. So I went down the hallway. I didn't see anyone. No officer. He said, well, he's in this cell. So I went in that cell. There's no officer. But what there was about 30 guys that wanted my shoes and thought I had money. They actually at that point hadn't taken our money yet. And so they thought, hey, this is a white guy. He's rich. You know, I had some Air shoes on. They were bought at an outlet store. They weren't very expensive, but they thought I had a lot of money. And so, you know, this guy actually was trying to steal from me, and he started sticking his hand in my pocket. And I'm really praying really quick here. I'm sending up really prayers to God at this point, because there's 30 guys that are surrounding me, and they want to go after me. And this guy put his hand in my pocket, and I moved his hand, and he said, well, don't touch me. I said, well, don't stick your hand in my pocket, and I won't. And we were talking back and forth as I'm praying also, and I said to him, do you want to go to hell? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, and you're trying to steal from me. Once I said that, those other 29 guys weren't with him anymore. They had a fear of God, and they didn't want to participate in that. But it was me on one-on-one at that point, and shortly thereafter, an officer did come into the cell, and I was able to boldly and quickly proclaim to him what was happening, that I was supposed to be somewhere else. They took that guy and put him in solitary confinement, moved me back to where I was supposed to be, and God protected me in that. But really, there are some people that have no fear of God before their eyes, and we need to get to a place where we have a fear of God. There are even churches that don't teach the fear of God. They only teach the love of God, and we need to go to a place where we need to realize that there is a God. We're going to stand before him. We're going to give an account for our lives. And the only way we're going to get into heaven is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's not a defense or a reason or a rationale to go out and continue to commit sin. If we go to and continue to commit sin and continue to be involved in violating God's commandments, we will actually experience his wrath. We need to have the fear of the Lord. And then the other thing that we need to really examine here is the inflammatory rhetoric that is happening from those on the left that are calling Donald Trump and Republicans Hitler. And certainly, if Donald Trump were really Hitler, let's say we were to go back to prior to World War II, and let's say that Donald Trump really is Hitler, wouldn't it be justifiable to kill him? What if there was someone that was so effective at debating on college campuses that for the first time ever in a century that young males, 25 and younger, actually voted for a Republican candidate? Wouldn't it be justifiable to execute that person? And we need to realize that when people are calling, when someone is saying, hey, this person is Hitler, there's connotations to that. And it is important. And really, we need to start holding holding elected officials accountable, and also holding those who are in the media accountable for some of their rhetoric and some of the things that they have said. Because you do see, even since Charlie Kirk's assassination, you still see some people calling other people Hitler. And really, it's coming from one side toward the other. It's coming from the left toward the right. Quite often, it's going toward President Trump. It's important that we honor life, that we respect life, that we honor God, that we realize that there is a God, that He is Lord of Lords, He is King of Kings. We are subject to His commandments and His precepts. And we need to return the Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments to schools. Thank God Charlie Kirk actually returned public debate to public schools. We'll talk into colleges. We'll talk more about that in the future, and really how his death can be really used by God to further His life's work as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord, and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes, and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Last year, we saw two assassination attempts on President Donald Trump, and a few days ago, we saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a young man who gently yet persuasively debated students on college campuses. While many mourn Charlie's death, some have praised his execution. We truly need to return God, prayer, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments to our lives and schools, and cry out to God in prayer for this nation.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Come on, clap your hands. Let's give God some praise for the good
things. I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Yes.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.